Well, just before we come to the Word of God again tonight, let me say again, it's good to renew fellowship with you here at Tabernacle Cardiff. It's a wonderful blessing, isn't it, to have like-minded fellowship in these days. There's many who laugh at us. There's many who oppose us. How sweet is the fellowship of like-minded brethren. So it's good to renew fellowship with you here. It's a joy to be here with you again in Cardiff. We often think of you. We pray for you. And may the Lord continue to bless you. May the Lord bless his servant here, Pastor Dowie Hyam. I'm thankful for the friendship. Also, Alan Hyam, who's away in Wattisham, and also Pastor Emeritus here tonight. May the Lord continue to bless God's servants in these days and here in this place. And let's be encouraged. God is on his throne. And God is the God of salvation. He will save. Days of blessing often come after a day of difficulty. So we're in expectation of a day of blessing. And may you soon witness soul after soul coming under conviction of sin and being shown the suitableness of Christ. And may we yet in these days see our churches and chapels filled again with people hungering for the gospel, desiring to know the way of salvation. Well, we look to the Lord, and in light of Psalm 80, we pray that the Lord would look down from heaven in love and visit the vine, that he would come where he is looking. He's looking on you here. He's looking on us in the New Forest. May he so come and bless our churches again. We look to him. Well, for a few moments tonight, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and by way of text, we read verse 29 and verse 30. Luke chapter 2, verse 29 and verse 30. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Dear congregation, it is a great blessing to have seen Jesus by the eye of faith, and then to have the prospect one day of seeing Jesus at death with the eyes of the soul, and then further with eyes of flesh on that great day. You recall Job, he was cast down, but then his soul was so stirred, and the Spirit so moved him to pen those words in Job 19. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. And there Job, he's looking forward. And you who love the Lord tonight, you can look forward one day to seeing Jesus. And what a glorious day that will be. At death, you will see him. And on that great day, oh dear congregation, how is it in your soul tonight? Is your heart warmed in thinking of Jesus? Do you have this longing to see him? Or do you not know him? You have no hope in your heart. You do not see the beauty of Christ. You cannot say he is altogether lovely. Oh, go quickly to Jesus, and you will not be disappointed in him. What a true child of God can look forward, and they can be found waiting for the Lord to come. Are you waiting to see Jesus? Now, Jerusalem, there was a certain old man called Simeon who was waiting to see Jesus. Now, we're told, as we read in our reading tonight, he was a just and devout man, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. We think of the word consolation, a calling near, a summonsing to one side, to encourage or console. And so there's comfort. And what a lovely description of the Lord Jesus Christ. He summons one to draw near and comfort the child of God, the consolation of Israel. And right at the outset, have you known the comfort of Christ in your soul? Have you looked to him? Have you known that peace of sins forgiven? Has Jesus visited your soul? We thought this morning of a fresh visit of Christ, and we long for such fresh visits. Has there been that initial visit of Christ to your soul? Oh, there is comfort to be found in Christ. What an encouragement here. He is the consolation of Israel. Now, Simeon, his heart had been touched, and he was waiting to see Jesus. Am I describing you tonight? Has your heart been touched? And are you eagerly waiting to see Jesus? Now, he was assured by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord. Upon a certain day in the providence of God, Simeon was found at the temple when Joseph and Mary with the Lord Jesus came in. And we're told in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He takes hold of the Lord. What a wonderful moment. He was longing to see the Lord, and now he takes hold of the Lord in his arms. And he says these words, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Here he is then. He's seen the Lord before he dies. And think of that tonight. And can I ask you, have you seen the Lord by way of faith? If you have, one day you can die. And all will be well. Dear congregation, eternity stands before you. One day we will enter into eternity. How can we be ready? By having faith in Jesus Christ. Well, as we come to these words tonight, I'd like us briefly, and we will be brief on each point, to consider, first of all, waiting for Jesus. Secondly, seeing God's salvation. Thirdly, departing in peace. And as we think of that third point, how will you die? Will you die with Christ at your side? Well, let's consider first of all tonight, waiting for Jesus. Verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. At the root of the Greek word, it speaks of to receive from any quarter. To receive, to wait, to expect, to be looking for. You may be waiting for a parcel. You're expecting a parcel to come. You're waiting. Are you waiting to see Jesus? Well, Simeon was waiting. He was looking. He was in expectation. Listen to Spurgeon. His devotion was not that of a blind devotee. He had eyes of expectation. He was expecting the Messiah to come, who is the consolation of Israel. He knew the Lord one day would come, the Messiah would come, who is the consolation of Israel. And he was looking forward, he was waiting to see him who would comfort his heart. He was a man of faith, and he was waiting to see Jesus. Faith had been put within his heart. Have you been given that precious gift of faith? It's not found in one by nature. It needs to be put within. Let me use a simple illustration. You think of the soil, and then you think of daffodils. If you're to see the daffodils, the bulbs must be put in. The ground. They won't come of themselves. They need to be put in. Has faith been put within your soul? Is there the evidence of it? as it were, is faith flowering in your heart? Have you this precious gift like Simeon? You've got faith in your heart. You know the Lord. I know whom I have believed. I'm looking to him and I'm waiting for him. With Simeon, he knew the Lord. Faith had been put within. He believed the scriptures. How important that is to believe the scriptures. Many laugh at the word of God. We're to believe the scriptures. Simeon believed the scriptures, and so he was waiting to see Jesus. He was waiting to be comforted by the Lord. He was waiting for the Messiah who would heal the broken heart. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, we read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord have anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He have sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." To bind up the brokenhearted. He's the consolation of Israel. Oh, what comfort there is in him through Christ. And here is Simeon. He's waiting to see him. Now we have some interesting words in Isaiah 25, verse 9. "And it shall be said in that day, though this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Now you note there, it was something the Lord's people were doing. Is it something you've done in your life? Has faith been given to you and you're waiting for God? How amazing to be found waiting for God, to know the Lord, and to be waiting for him, to be looking forward to seeing him. We have waited for him. We may wait for a number of things, don't we? You young ones, you may wait for your birthday. And you're looking. You're in anticipation. When I was a child, I used to wait every week. And what was that for, to my shame? The end of the sermon. Used to be waiting. The end of the sermon, I can get on home in anticipation. Oh, are you waiting for the Lord? Is your eye on Christ tonight? Oh, consider him. He is the one who came into this world in order to save. He accomplished redemption. Is your eye on him? Is your eye on the Savior tonight? And are you truly waiting for him? Now we read in Hebrews 9, verse 28, these words. "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Now you notice there the writer is looking back and considering what Christ has done. And then the writer looks forward and considers those who are looking for his appearing. What about you tonight? Can you look back and consider Calvary? Oh, he died on the cross, and I have believed in him. I have sought forgiveness for my sins. Are you looking back to the cross tonight? Have you faith in Christ? And are you looking forward? Are you waiting? Notice those words in Hebrews 9, verse 28. "Unto them that look for him." Are you looking for Jesus? Are you waiting like Simeon? He is coming. His final message in Revelation 22, verse 20 is this: "Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And there's the people of God. They're wanting to see him. They have faith in their hearts and they're wanting to see him. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Surely I come quickly," says the Lord. Verily, truly, assuredly, there's no question, he's coming. Are you waiting to see him? In Psalm 130, verse 5, we read, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." You notice the psalmist there, he's waiting. My soul doth wait. I'm thinking of the Lord in my heart tonight. I know him, and I'm waiting for him. I'm hoping in the word. I know the truth. He's Simeon. He knew the scriptures. He knew the Lord would come, and he was waiting. Simeon waited, and in time he saw the Lord. And in passing, dear child of God, one day the wait will be over, and you will see the Lord. And what a moment that will be for you, as we shall see in a moment. Well, here then is Simeon. He's waiting. He's longing. His soul is so moved. Has your heart been touched by Christ? Is there activity? Have you a new heart? And now you're waiting for him. Yes, at times there's coldness in my heart. And I mourn those times when I feel so cold. You know, in the winter time, we feel the cold, don't we? Oh, in a spiritual winter time in the soul, it's so cold within. Oh, to know more warmth. But oh, to go on and then look for the Lord. The Song of Solomon ends with these words, "Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roe or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices. Make haste, my beloved, I so love thee." In Psalm 116, we have the words of the psalmist, "I love the Lord." Can you say that to Jesus tonight? "I love thee, Lord Jesus, and I'm longing to see thee. Make haste, my beloved, thou art mine." Is Christ yours tonight? Is he your beloved? And are you waiting to see Jesus? "Make haste, even so come, Lord Jesus." Do not we find ourselves echoing those words? Or are you a stranger to grace? You see nothing in Jesus. You're not looking for his coming because you haven't looked to him by way of faith. Oh, look to him by way of faith. You need him. You're a sinner. Oh, look to him. Believe in him and repent of your sins. Now, if we're to be found waiting, we need to be living in the light of his word. We need to be thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so important, isn't it? Now we have so much to do in our lives. There's so many legitimate things we must do. You who are mothers, you're raising up children and you must attend to your children. You in the workplace, you've got so much to do. But spend time to set your affections on things above. Think of him. If we're to be waiting for him, we need to think about him, don't we? That's plain, isn't it? In Colossians 3, verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Setting our affections on things above. Think about the Lord now. Can you do so with delight? Can you say he is altogether lovely? And I long to see Jesus. He's my life. Remember those words of the apostle? "Christ liveth in me." That's the testimony to believe in. Set your affections on things above and wait for him. Well, here's Simeon then. He was waiting. Am I describing you tonight? You're waiting. You're waiting to see Jesus, to see him at death and then on that great day. Well, let's consider secondly tonight as we move on. Seeing God's salvation. Notice verse 30. "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Now the Lord had made plain to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Come with me to verse 26. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." What a revelation to Simeon. He wasn't going to die until he had seen the Lord Jesus. And when he saw the Lord Jesus, he said in verse 30, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Now note those words there, "thy salvation." You see, the Lord Jesus is the Lord's Christ, thy salvation. In Psalm 98, verse 2, we read these words, "The Lord hath made known his salvation." Lovely words, aren't they? "The Lord hath made known his salvation." What do we read here in verse 30? "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And so in Psalm 98, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Simeon saw. The Lord was sent, and the Lord came to save. In Psalm 89, verse 19, we read these words, "Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exhorted one chosen out of the people." Help was laid on Christ, the Lord's salvation, and he was sent. And dear child of God, all the help you needed was laid on Christ. And if you're without Christ, look to him. All you need is to be found in him. He's the Lord's Christ, the only Savior. Will you look to him, dear unconverted friend? All that you need in life, the help you need, is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Simeon, just think about it. Simeon saw the Lord. And how precious this is here. He took him in his arms. That's so amazing, isn't it? You know, it's a lovely thing, isn't it, to take hold of a little baby and to hold the baby in one's arms. Think of Simeon. He took hold of the Lord Jesus in his arms. "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He embraced Jesus in his arms. Let me ask you, have you embraced Jesus in the arms of faith? A lovely description, James Fisher speaks of Simeon, like Simeon, to grasp him in the arms of faith with delight. Have you grasped Christ in the arms of faith with delight? Have you received Christ Jesus? Faith is seen as a receiving and a resting. We think of the old catechism. Have you received him by the arms of faith? Here's Simeon. He has hold of the Lord. What a wonderful thing we see here. He's seen the Lord. Have you received Christ Jesus? In John 1 verse 11 we read these words, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." You think of those, they saw the Lord with their own physical eyes, yet they did not receive him. He came unto his own and received him not. Is there someone here tonight you're not receiving? You're not believing? Remember those words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I was in the open air 2 weeks ago and I read those words. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," Jesus said. And I said to the people who were passing by, Jesus said he is the truth. Why are you not believing then? The truth. And is there someone here? You're not believing in Jesus. You haven't received him. Yes, you may have been to church to a number of years, but you haven't received Christ Jesus. Why? He came unto his own and his own received him not. That's amazing, isn't it? So many saw him but did not believe him. So many hear the gospel in our land but do not believe in him. Yet we read in verse 12 of John 1, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Have you received the unspeakable gift? You think of those words. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Have you been given? Have you received? You who have received Christ Jesus, what do? You admire the grace of God. It's all of grace, isn't it? Well, here's Simeon. He has hold of the Lord. Have you hold of the Lord in your heart? Do you know him? Have you embraced him? You remember Psalm 2, verse 12, kiss the Son. Have you embraced Christ? Have you believed in him? Have you shown love to him? Kiss the Son. There's the gospel in Psalm 2. Here's the call of the gospel. Kiss the Son. If you're about Christ, if you're an enemy to Christ, the gospel comes to you. Kiss the Son. Embrace Christ. Here's Simeon. He has the Lord in his arms. He's seen the Lord and he's embraced the Lord. Have you faith? Are you embracing Christ tonight? Are you looking unto Jesus? You exercising faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Think here then. Think of one looking to Jesus by faith. Now Simeon, he looked to Jesus by faith before he saw the Lord with his own eyes. He was a believer before the Lord was born. Remember, he's in expectation. It had been revealed to him that he would see the Lord's Christ. Why had it been revealed to him? Well, he was a believer here, and it was a special providence for him. He had already seen the Lord by way of faith, and now he sees the Lord with his own eyes. And dear brethren, those who see the Lord by faith, one day will see the Lord in glory, and on that great day. What a wonderful day that will be for the believer. Yes, all will see the Lord on that great day. But for the child of God who has faith in their hearts, oh, what a wonderful day that will be. Let me tell you, if you have faith in your heart, when you die, you will be so consumed with love when you see Jesus. Here's Simeon. He's a believer, and then he saw the Lord. Those who have faith in Jesus, one day will see Jesus at death. And oh, what a moment is coming for me. I'm going to see the Lord. And dear child of God, soon you will see Jesus. Soon you'll be looking into the eyes of Jesus who so loved you. We thought this morning of the compassion of Christ. And we thought how Christ looks on us. And as he looked on Mary, so he looks on us with such compassion. One day we will look at his face and we will see compassion so flowing out of his eyes. We will be so taken when we hear him speak. You know, we read in Psalm 89, verse 15, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. And it's a blessing to know the gospel, isn't it? It's a blessing to have heard the voice of Jesus through the word, through the gospel. But what a moment is coming when I will audibly hear the voice of Christ. Some of you may know I suffer a little bit with hearing problems. It's hard to hear, but oh, there be no problem when I see Jesus. I will so hear his lovely voice, his gracious voice, and the words from his lips will so melt my soul. And then I will see the nail prints in his hands. My soul will be so moved. I'm on my way to seeing Jesus at death. What about you? Are you on your way to seeing Jesus at death? Simeon, he's ready to die. He's going to glory because he's at peace because he has faith in his heart. He knows the Lord. Are you at peace? Because you have faith in your heart, and are you looking forward to seeing him? Last Lord's Day evening in the forest, we looked at those words in Acts chapter 14, the one who will enter the kingdom of God, thinking of heaven. And what a moment for the believer when they enter. Dear child of God, this moment's coming. You're going to enter heaven. And who will you see first? You will see Jesus. Yes, Afterwards, you will see loved ones who died in the Lord. But first of all, you will see Jesus, and your heart will be so moved, and such joy will take hold of your soul. You know, blessed are the times when the believer is found rejoicing in Christ, and we know the joy, and we long to know that more. But what a moment when we leave this world, dear child of God, and see Jesus. Such joy will fill the soul. And I will see Jesus with the eyes of my soul. And I will hear his voice. And I will be found talking with him. What a prospect. Is it your prospect? That you're going to see Jesus. How can I know if it's my prospect? Have you seen him with the eyes of faith? Have you believed in him? But then one thing further here. We think of seeing Jesus with the eyes of faith. We think of seeing Jesus at death with the eyes of the soul. But then for the believer, one will with such delight look on Jesus with eyes of flesh on that great day like Job. The eyes of faith, the eye of faith, the eyes of the soul, and the eyes of flesh. And what a day when we see Jesus, dear brethren, on the great day. All will see him. In this world, all who have ever lived, every eye shall see him, we're told in Revelation. What a fearful day for the unbeliever. If you're without Christ and you die in your sins, what a fearful day to see the Lamb. And to take note of the wrath of the Lamb, but for the believer, to gaze at the face of Jesus, and there be no blurred vision. A couple of years ago, I had a bonfire in my garden, and one of my inhalers fell out of my pocket, and I didn't know this, and went onto the fire, and then it shot me just above my eye. And I nearly lost the sight in that eye, had to go to hospital. The next day, it was blurred, but I could begin to see. Oh, think of that great day. There be no blurred vision. I will see Jesus clearly with eyes of flesh. What a moment that will be. And I will look at him forever. I will rejoice in him forever and ever. There be no tears on my face to blur the vision. I will just look at Jesus for all eternity. Is that your prospect? Are you waiting to see Jesus? You're longing to see him at death with the eyes of your soul. And you're longing to see him on that great day and be with him forever. Dear young ones, I used to hear the gospel each week from a very young age. But I didn't believe in Jesus. Are you believing in Jesus? Are you looking forward to seeing him? One day we've got to die, as we shall note in closing in a moment, and we do not know when. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, all will be well, and you will see Jesus. Dear young ones here tonight, will I see you in heaven looking at Jesus? Oh, what a prospect, dear brethren. One day we will see God's salvation. What a blessing to see him with the eyes of faith now. Are you longing to see him? You know, somebody may be away. They may be there on the mission field or in another part of the world. And you're just waiting. You're longing to see your loved one. I saw a message the other day sent to someone who was around the other part of other side of the world. I'm longing to see you. Can't wait to see you. Sometimes I get these messages, can't wait to see you, from my brothers and sisters. They tell me they're looking forward. Are you telling Jesus tonight you're looking forward to seeing him? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Do you know this communion with Christ? Do you know what it is to talk to Jesus, dear young ones here tonight? Are you saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus? Lord, I want to see thee. I'm looking forward to seeing thee at death and on that great day. Can you make known to Jesus tonight that you're looking forward to seeing him? Can you do it now? Often say to my people back home, in light of Psalm 116, how often do we say to the Lord that we love him? I love the Lord, Psalm 116, verse 1. You know, we say to our loved ones often, don't we? I love you. You wives, you say to your husbands, husbands maybe to your wives, I love you. That's how it ought to be, isn't it? Do you say to Jesus, I love you often? And are you saying tonight, Lord, I'm longing to see thee. I so love thee. I so believe in thee. And I want to see thee. I want to see thy lovely face. I want to take note of thy compassion, O Lord. Are you in expectation? Well, as we close, and we'll close very briefly. Thirdly, departing in peace. Notice verse 29. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. You remember he had been told, it was revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Jesus. Now he's seen the Lord Jesus. And he says to the Lord, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. He's thinking of his death. And he knows all is well. Can you think of death tonight? And though it's a difficult time, do you consider all is well for me? And I'm ready to die. Here's Simeon. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Notice it. He's talking to the Lord about his death. Can you do that? Are you committing your life to him? Lord, I know one day I'm going to die, but I'm believing. I know all is well. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. He's thinking of his death, the departure. Remember those words of the apostle to Timothy 4, verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Have you been to an airport? You think of the departure lounge. I never liked the departure lounge. I'm always glad when I get to the arrival lounge, when we touch down and into the land. I'm no good at flying. I don't like the departure lounge. But you know the departure lounge? It's the lounge before you set off in the skies, isn't it, on the plane. Well, here's the apostle. He's thinking of his departure, his death, when he's going to leave this world. Can I say this as lovingly as I can to you all tonight? One day, we're going to die. Death is facing us. I often think about it. We're going to die. We're going to close our eyes on this world one day. We're going to leave this world. There will be the separation of our body and soul. That day is coming. One day we will step into eternity at death. Are you ready, like Simeon? You do not know when it will come. It may be the last time I see you tonight. Or you see me, we just do not know, do we? What do we read in Proverbs 27, verse 1? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We just do not know, do we? We may not see our faces again here upon earth. Are you ready? Our departure is coming. One day we will enter the valley of the shadow of death. And we must tread through that valley. Dear child of God, you will not tread through that valley alone. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You who have believed in Jesus will have the accompanying presence of Jesus as you go through the valley. You may not sense it to begin with. You remember this morning, Mary did not recognize the Lord's presence to begin with, that it was the Lord. And dear child of God, you may enter the valley and you may not sense the Lord is with you to begin with. But right at the end, I assure you, He will make himself known, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Certain ones in the family may be looking on, and they see you just lying there, and you're unconscious. Right at the end, there will be comfort. At least then, in view of Psalm 23, the Lord will be with you. It's a difficult time, even for those who have a fairly peaceful death. I remember two particular dear saints who passed away in the early years of my ministry. There was one godly man, he so struggled in the valley, in such pain and agony. And then there was a dear elderly lady. She was so fearful of dying. She knew she was going to heaven, but she was just fearful of dying leading up to that moment. And the Lord wonderfully answered her prayer. And this is how she died. She was talking. She closed her eyes. And then she saw Jesus. Now that's how we all want to die, isn't it? A peaceful way. But it's not always granted, is it? And I must say to you as lovingly as I can, and I must prepare you, it may be hard going through the valley. In a physical way, it may be hard going. Hard going in the soul. Satan may assault you, but the Lord will be with you. You may know great struggle within. You may be troubled, but peace will come. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Peace will come. There will come that tranquility the moment before you see Jesus. And what tranquility when you're in heaven. For the unbeliever, this is not the case. If you're without Christ and you die in your sins, you'll know no true peace. We thought earlier of one being consumed with joy when they go to heaven. But for the unbeliever, in light of Psalm 73, verse 19, they will be consumed with terrors. I pray no one here dies like that. Consumed with terrors. But if you're not believing, you may, if you do not trust him. Oh, trust my all lovely Saviour, that when you die, all will be well for your soul. What misery for the unbeliever who dies in their sins. But what joy for the believer. Here's Simeon. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. And he knows peace in his heart. All is well. Do you know that peace tonight? All will be well for you when you die. Yes, you may struggle at times. Your peace may be assaulted, but I know all will be well for me. My Saviour will take hold of me, and I will be received into heaven. And then think of peace at the moment of death. What peace there is in Emmanuel's land. What peace there is in heaven. There's no peace really here, is there? It's just a little bit of peace. But think of heaven, such peace. There's no sorrow there, no crying there. There's no death, there's no sin. What peace reigns in heaven. And I'm so thankful I'm going to that place where there is such peace. Here's Simeon, he's ready now. Are you ready to leave this world because you have Jesus in your soul? Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. A difficult valley is coming, but let me fully assure you, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be peace at the end of the valley. And such tranquility will take hold of you when you're gazing at Jesus. Just think of that. Such peace will fill your soul when you're looking at your Saviour. And such joy will fill your soul when you're looking at Jesus. And your heart will be full of love. I often think, what am I going to say to Jesus when I get to heaven? I'm sure I'm going to be lost for words. when I see Jesus. Oh, what peace is coming. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be peace at the end of your journey when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. So here was Simeon, and he's waiting. Is that you tonight? He's seeing God's salvation. Have you seen him? Dear young ones, have you looked to the Lord by way of faith? If you have, there will be such peace for you when you leave this world. Will I see you all in heaven? We think of fellowship now. What a blessing to see each other in heaven. And most of all, to see Jesus. Are you on your way to seeing Jesus? Are you longing to see Jesus? Amen.